Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I have to be honest with you guys. I have only one thing written down in front of me on my notes. I sometimes will jot down a few specific questions. I don't really know where this conversation is going to go, and I kind of like it like that, unpredictable talk radio. But the only thing that I put down on my notes is John Lieberman. Not Joe, because that happened once. I had accidentally called him Joe live during the morning show. Our guest host, John Lieberman, is with us. Good to have you with us, John.
Hey, Morgan, good to be with you. You know, you didn't ask me what song I wanted to lead into this interview, but I guess that's okay.
Uh-oh. I just realized that. I should have done that. My bad. My B. Well, you know, you've gotten to pick the last few openers, I think, for the morning show, so I think we're even today.
Yeah, we're probably even. It's good to be with you on your show, Morgan.
Definitely a pleasure to have you on. You know, this was just one of those spur-of-the-moment things. I love spur-of-the-moment. We were talking, just bantering back and forth one morning. You were filling in for Brian on our WTIC Brian & Company morning show. And I said to myself, like, this guy has an interesting background. I think you were talking about America's Most Wanted. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I think that's what started it. And obviously I've been in media now for probably longer than you've been alive, Morgan. That's scary. But I've been doing it about 30 years now at this point. I spent a large part of my career as a national correspondent for America's Most Wanted, going after bad guys and interviewing fugitives after we help law enforcement catch them. So lots of stories there.
Definitely a lot to get into. And I think the first thing I want to know is, how did you get into this wild world of television and radio and reporting and media in general? How did it happen? You know, there's always some kind of a bug that bites us. I want to know what it was for you.
That's a great question, Morgan. So it started out with my passion for play-by-play sports. And so I was 5 or 6 years old, and I grew up in Baltimore. And I used to have a little red tape recorder, and I would take that tape recorder and my microphone, and I would sit up in the upper deck of the old Memorial Stadium, which is where the Orioles played years ago, in Baltimore. And I would sit up there, and because I loved just talking and telling people about the game and listening to the game on the radio. I got to grow up with some amazing play-by-play announcers in Baltimore, Chuck Thompson and John Miller. And then I, you know, as I got a tiny bit older, I would watch the network news in the evening, you know, so 6 o'clock or whatever, 6:30, it would come on. And we had the likes of Tom Brokaw and Peter Jennings and those guys. And I was just like, you know what? I think these guys have a fascinating career of telling stories to the masses. And I just got the bug. My parents tell a funny story because we used to go to this breakfast place outside of Baltimore. It's called Boggers. It's actually still there. And anyway, we would go there, and I couldn't have been any older than five. And we'd go there to eat breakfast a lot on the weekends. And I would have the newspaper open, and I would just read it cover to cover. I was just fascinated with news and broadcasting and all that. And that's kind of how I got bit.
Sometimes it can be hard to break into the business. Now, I'm sure it was hard then. It's hard now. I'd say it's probably harder now because a lot of beginning entry-level jobs, particularly in radio, have kind of gone away, right? You know, the overnight positions and so on and so forth have been kind of trimmed back in recent years. And we could talk more about that later on in the hour, kind of where things are going with media and how is it looking today. But at that point in time, how did you break in? Because you ended up doing some pretty big things. So I'm curious, how did you actually get your foot in the door someplace? Were you, you know, the janitor? Like, you know, crazier things have happened. How did it happen for you?
No, that's a great question, Morgan. And I know later in the hour, I have a lot of thoughts because I actually think not that it's harder to break in these days. It's harder to, I think, make a living doing it these days. These days, there's a lot less barrier to entry, right? Because anybody can sort of broadcast from their basement and call themselves a podcaster or a broadcaster. But it's about making a living. But to how did I break into it? You know, a big part of it was that I knew from the jump what I wanted to do. And so I never blinked in my pursuit of it. And so when I was 15 years old, when I was a sophomore in high school, I did my first internship at a local cable TV station, a local access station in my hometown of Westminster, Maryland. And it's funny because I still keep in touch with a couple of the anchors there, you know, through Facebook and things like that. They were anchors there now. It's now defunct. I mean, they were anchors back then. But so I got my first internship in television at the age of 15. And that is really, there are two things that I credit kind of my, a few things that I kind of credit opening a lot of doors. Number one was sort of that clarity that I knew I wanted to be a broadcaster. And so I did an internship at 15, and I got into I was very fortunate to get into a really good journalism program at Northwestern University in Evanston. And so that's kind of thing number two that sort of helped me. And while I was in Evanston, again, I was just laser focused on journalism. I just sent my own son off to college, and we were talking about this actually on the ride down to Baltimore where he's going to school. And I was like, you know what, in college, my one regret is I was kind of so laser focused on journalism that I didn't probably give 100% effort in the other things, that the other classes and things like that, because I knew what I wanted to do. And I'm going to wrap up the story in a second because I know I'm long-winded, Morgan. But Northwestern gave us the opportunity when we were juniors in college.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
To go off and do an internship at a TV station or a radio station or a newspaper or a magazine, whichever kind of track you were on at the school, and kind of the, I don't want to say the better you were at it, but it was competitive to get certain spots. And the spot that I got was at a small TV station, the NBC station in Topeka, Kansas. And that was the biggest early break in my career because as a 20-year-old, I was on the air at an NBC affiliate, you know, in a small market. And that's what every news director out there wanted to see was some sort of resume tape of you working at a real station. And I was one of the few people that had that when I graduated from college.
Let's fast forward. You ended up interviewing, as you put it, bad guys.
Yeah, wow. So fast forward. So I was early in my career, I was a crime reporter and an investigative reporter in markets like Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Baltimore, Maryland, which each have their fair share of crime to cover. So okay. I kind of got my niche became crime. And so fast forward to, you know, 2005, I think it was, and my agent saw a job at America's Most Wanted, and, you know, I won't bore you with the details, but ultimately I got it. And it's funny because I took a job as a producer at America's Most Wanted, not actually as an on-air correspondent because it was my foot in the door there, but they didn't have any on-air positions. And so my first about 6 months at America's Most Wanted, I was a producer. And then I bugged our executive producer so much that he probably wanted to just shoo me out the door, but I bugged him so much to put me on the air. And then I was on the air at America's Most Wanted going after bad guys for 7 years. And my forte kind of became sitting down with fugitives after we caught them. So I ended up doing a ton of jailhouse interviews with you know, accused murderers, accused rapists, and that sort of became my kind of beat at America's Most Wanted for my time there.
So I'm kind of jealous here, John, because I've always, one thing that I have not been able to accomplish yet is like a prison interview, right? I want to sit down with like the biggest, baddest, most notorious Connecticut prisoner that there is and interview him or her. In any case, what's it like, right? So you're sitting there next to someone that you know is, as you put it, you know, really heinous. They're a murderer. They're a killer. They're a rapist, as you put it. These are the people that you were talking with. Did you ever get like nervous or weirded out just by being near them or hearing their story firsthand from them?
It's a great question. I don't think nervous because I think, you know, you start to, and you know this from being on the radio every morning, you don't get nervous before you go on the air. It's your job. You're kind of, you're ready for it. I don't think nervous, but definitely I would leave many of those interviews angry because I have never interviewed somebody accused or convicted of a serious crime that didn't have a reason in their mind for doing it. I've never sat face to face with a killer or a rapist or an armed robber and they just said, I had no reason. I felt it was justified
or they just decided to do it.
They all had a justification, a rationale. She made me angry. She deserved it. Oh, that wasn't really inappropriate. Oh, well, they say I did all those things, but I only did some of them. Like, there were all the excuses and explanations and rationale. And so that sort of, and unfortunately, what I would come to learn later on is, you know, that muddies the water for people who actually literally have been wrongfully accused, because there were two types of interviews I would do. Either A, they would say, you know what, I did it, but here's why. You know, she made me angry, she started it, he pointed a gun at me first. Or there were those that just flat out said, you know, I know I'm on America's Most Wanted, but you have the wrong guy, blah, 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 when the evidence couldn't be clearer. So those were kind of the two types of people that I would sit down with.
Was there any one particular case where you said, it must be true, you know, this person didn't do it? Or did you always feel that their story couldn't be corroborated in that way?
At America's Most Wanted, I felt like everybody, that the charges were valid or the convictions were valid. I have had other times since that in my career when I had kind of accused criminals or convicted at that point kind of reach out to me where I did have some question, where I think there was enough doubt to kind of at least look into the case. But at America's Most Wanted, we were going after the worst of the worst. And in order to make the FBI's top 10 list or the U.S. Marshals top 10 list or the Connecticut State Police top 10 list, I mean, generally speaking, there's a mountain of evidence against these people. And so it was pretty cut and dried in those situations.
It's WTIC News Talk 1080 and Spotlight Connecticut. And John is one of our guest hosts at WTIC. And as legend has it, one day I thought that his story was kind of cool. I'm like, huh, this guy's interviewing rapists and killers and so on and so forth. And he's on the Howard Stern channel, apparently. And now he's working with us. Like, what? How's this come to be? But in any case, I asked him to come on, and here he is. So hopefully you're getting a chance to learn a little bit more about John yourself, because a lot of times you hear people on the radio and you don't know a damn thing about them. So it's kind of nice when you get to kind of sit back and learn a little bit about who's actually driving, literally, the radio ship. All right, John, we were talking about true crime before the break. As a matter of fact, you've written a true crime book, haven't you?
I have. It's interesting. And Morgan, I want to tell the audience one thing really quickly, because
sure.
I love this. I love this story. My first time filling in there for Brian at TIC, you know, I had heard your voice on the air, and I could have sworn that you were my age or more, because and I came up to you and said something to this effect, that you have such an authoritative voice. I thought you were a guy in your 50s who'd been doing radio for like 30 or 40 years. So
no.
It was a compliment, but I like the audio. I like the audience to know that stuff, because I remember I came over to your desk and I'm like, oh my gosh, like you're young and you're so good at this. So anyway,
I believe when we met, I was 28 and I'm now 29. So that's how that worked out.
You have a whole lifetime in front of you in radio, but yeah, so I wrote it was interesting during my time at America's Most Wanted, one case that I worked on extensively was the Whitey Bulger case up in Boston. You know, he killed, you know, dozens of people and ran the gang up there for many, many years. And so we were on the hunt for Whitey for a very long time. And I had the privilege to, you know, pretty much go around the world with the FBI task force searching for Whitey. Now, ultimately, he was caught in California with his common law wife, longtime girlfriend, Catherine Grieg. But in those travels, obviously, I had a lot of behind-the-scenes information about the hunt for Whitey. And so it turned out that with the FBI's blessing, of course, I wrote a book with a woman named Margaret McLean, who was a lawyer up in Boston, and it was called Whitey on Trial. And one quick interesting thing about Whitey on Trial is, one day, as we're finishing up the book And writing a book, as many people out there know, or if you don't know, I'm going to tell you, is a labor of love, because it takes a year or so, you know, to get the book done. As we're literally putting the finishing touches on it, a letter arrives in our mailbox from Whitey Bulger.
No way.
And he says, speaking of always having an excuse or whatever, he says, you know, I know you're writing this book. I want to be heard. And he wrote about a 3-page letter, which is printed in the book, you know, exactly verbatim, pictures of it verbatim. Exactly how he's not this, he's not that, he's not the monster. And we had a long conversation, Margaret and I and our editors. We had a long conversation about, do we include this in the book? Because the book was about the trial and about my, you know, what I knew from behind the scenes of the FBI investigation. And so the trial heard from many of the victims' families in this case who talked about, you know, their innocent loved ones being killed at the hands of Whitey and his group. And so we really kind of debated, do we include this letter in the book? Because are the victims' families going to see this as a slap in the face and things like that? Now, ultimately, we did include the letter, but again, it was a last-minute letter that Whitey wrote to us, and so it was fascinating because obviously that doesn't happen every day.
They always want to be heard. They just always want to be heard, don't they?
Oh, always, always, always. Yeah, 100%.
We'll just leave it at that. They just always want to be heard in some way, shape, or form. In any case, and we're kind of going to transition the conversation here a little bit, and we're going to do it in a very interesting way. I think you'll kind of appreciate it, John. But you've done work with this guy, too. Howard Stern, who once upon a time was involved in Connecticut radio before he was a network personality, before he was big as he is today. In the early 70s, he worked at WCCC-FM in Hartford, or maybe it was the late 70s, but it was before he became a big talent. And you've had the opportunity to get to know Howard Stern. You've had the opportunity to work on his channels, even at the national level. And I could ask you how that all came to be. But what I'm curious about is kind of like what you've learned from Stern all of these years, and his very futuristic view for media, his very futuristic view for his channel. I know that there are some things, I'm not going to ask you to comment on them, but I know that there are some things going on with Stern right now at SiriusXM that, you know, might be of interest before too long here. But at some point, you know, he's had to keep evolving, is what I'm trying to say. And you've obviously learned from him as he's paved way for a very futuristic perspective in media. I mean, the guy's not just on radio anymore. He's on, you know, satellite radio. He's on YouTube. He's on social media. And he has quite a cult following everywhere he goes.
You know, it's a great question. And I've been blessed to have been associated with many what I would consider icons in TV and radio over the years, whether it's John Walsh, the host of America's Most Wanted, which had an amazing, amazing, you know, 30-year run on network TV, and Howard, who is the greatest to ever do it on the radio. And so I've just been blessed to be associated and to still be associated with Howard and his great team at Sirius. And I'll tell you the thing about Howard that I have learned, probably the biggest lesson, above and beyond, you know, his ability to interview. He's, in my opinion, the best interviewer out there, and has been for some time. But Howard also has the unique ability to attract and retain an audience wherever he goes. And it's interesting because I teach a course on communications, and I teach another course on brand storytelling at Clark University up in Worcester, and I use it as an example of, no matter what media you're in, if it's TV, if it's radio, if it's podcasting, or if you're doing corporate communications, the goal, or if you're trying to sell a widget, the goal is always the same, and that is to attract and retain an audience. And Howard, you know, you may remember he did the foray on TV for America's Got Talent, and he immediately attracted and retained an audience there.
Right.
Howard has this unique knack to do that. And that does lead into a discussion of where media is going in 2026 and beyond, because it's certainly not the media landscape that I grew up in, or even, frankly, the landscape of even 5 years ago. You know,
at first,
I think we thought kind of social media, quote unquote, was going to, you know, was the thing that was sort of going to revolutionize radio, but or not radio, but all of media. But now you take that a step forward into AI, into, you know, things like Substack and Beehive, platforms where creators now have a direct link to the audience. It's not through a company. It's not through a known brand. They are the brand. And so the future of media is really, really interesting, because everybody now is trying to figure out, how do we attract and retain both our old audiences, but constantly finding new audiences? And both legacy companies are trying to figure out the whole digital landscape. And, you know, unfortunately, and I know, Morgan, I'm sure you know many people too, but unfortunately, many of our colleagues in radio and TV and newspaper and journalism across the board have been laid off over the last several years because of, belt tightening, and because ad dollars have dried up, and because there's so much competition out there with
so fragmented,
all of
right.
the streaming. Yeah, exactly. And so everybody's trying to figure it out. I have a rosier view of it than I think a lot of people do. I mean, if you read enough, you see, you know, media is going to die and news, you know.
It's like total gun in the mouth. I mean, it's really depressing when you read some of these things.
And I try not to buy into that. And I try to do that for a couple reasons. One is, you know, they said when TV came along way back when that was going to kill radio.
1957, well, and here we are.
we're still on the radio. Then they said podcasting was going to kill radio. And look, maybe some people argue that radio isn't what it used to be. That's probably a valid argument, but people still listen to the radio, whether it's Sirius XM on satellite, whether it's the Odyssey stations local. I mean, TIC is a local powerhouse that people still listen to. So I subscribe to the theory that provide good content and the listeners and the viewers and the readers will be there. It's all about, though, you have to provide content that gives value to your audience in some way, shape, or form. That value could be the weather, the traffic, and the local news headlines in one arena, or that value could be, you know, making people laugh on their way to work, or that, you know, so everything in my mind has sort of come together. There aren't clear buckets anymore. When I think of radio, I put radio and podcasting and audio all kind of in one bucket. And when I think of TV, I don't think of just TV, like turning on your TV now. I think you have to put streaming in that. Obviously, you put YouTube in that. You put social in that, and that's all driven by video. And then, of course, we have all the up-and-comers, the Substacks, the Beehives, where content creators and really big names, too, are just going direct to their audience and now trying to monetize it, you know, on their own and not through one of the legacy brands. So, but I actually have a pretty rosy picture. I think it's, you know, they said when the internet came, the internet was going to kill, you know,
everything before it.
Yeah, exactly. And they said Broadway would be killed by TV too. I mean, Broadway is still in New York and people are still going to shows in person. And, you know, so again, I just think it's an evolution. We all have to learn. And I think instead of viewing AI kind of as the great killer of, you know, of creativity and all that, I think we have to embrace AI and figure out how we can use AI to make what we do better. But at the end of the day, I am convinced that people still want to get their information and their entertainment and their news from other people that they like and trust.
Let me ask you this, John. Yeah. Is it possible in this era of media fragmentation, should people just be specializing in one thing? So in other words, Morgan specializes in radio. You, John, you specialize in social media, and Sally specializes in TV, and Tom specializes in podcasts, whatever it might be, you know, because here, you know, I'm trying to be on social media and YouTube and videos and, you know, I'm kind of everything in one package, or at least I try to be. That's what I tell myself. So should we just be focusing on one thing, or do we have to be the whole package?
Great question. I think you don't have to be the whole package, but you need to have a presence as many places as possible to drive people to your thing. So Morgan Cunningham's thing, let's just say, is your Saturday show, right? Obviously, you have the weekday show with Brian and everything. Mm-hmm. But let's just, for this example, say your show. So yes, you should, in my, you know, again, I don't know what the rules are, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, but essentially, everybody needs to be using all of those platforms, be present on all those platforms, give really good content on all those platforms as almost like a movie trailer or a teaser to get people to the where you ultimately want them to end up. I call it the call to action. And that's why you do need to be on every single platform, because you never know where your audience might show up, and you never know that they might see a quick YouTube short and be like, oh, okay, I like this Morgan guy, I'm going to tune into TIC, you know, at 2 o'clock on Saturdays. Or you're on Substack and you write a pretty cool newsletter about what you think about blah, 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 but you point them back to the radio show. So I look at it as you have to have a core, you have to have the thing, but then there's tentacles out from that thing where you need to reach all of these other platforms in order to drive people back to your, you know, to your thing.
John, you mentioned rules. What are the rules? I make the rules. I'm Morgan Cunningham. We'll be back with John Lieberman next as we continue on Spotlight Connecticut. And we are wrapping up with our guest host, John Lieberman. John, I've really appreciated having you on the show. I'm glad that I had this impromptu idea. I said, huh, he seems cool. He might as well be a guest on the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. And we only have a few minutes left. I hope it's been fun for you.
It's been a lot of fun, Morgan. It's great chatting with you. And yeah, I'm glad you had this hunch, and I'm glad you thought I was cool. I mean, you know, it's hard to get that moniker these days.
In this last roughly minute that we've got, how do people connect with you? I mean, you have so much more on your website and more information about you than what we were able to get into this hour. So maybe people can check you out online.
Yeah, that's great. Check me out at johnlieberman.com. So JohnLieberman. Or on X, I am at Reporter John, ReporterJohn. No H. But no, Morgan, this has been a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing you soon. Brian never takes a day off. But
no, he doesn't, does he?
Then I'm going to be there with you. Yeah, that guy needs to take some more time off just to get some R&R.
I don't know how he does it. You know, he's got a lot going on in his personal life, too, with kids and college and all that. So I don't know. I don't know how he does it.
I don't know. We'll see if we can talk him into some time off just to get a breather.
Well, I'm sure I'll see you before too long, but I appreciate your coming on Spotlight Connecticut this afternoon.
Morgan, thanks so much. People should know I live in Connecticut, so I'm here. I'm
you
a
do.
Local.
Yes, you do. He's one of our own folks. This is why he's allowed on Spotlight Connecticut. Otherwise, I'd probably say, nah, you're not welcome.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.